The Right Stand with Anand Narasimhan.
Hello and welcome to this Right Stand podcast. I'm Anand Narasimhan. It's all about Maharashtra, ladies and gentlemen. And what drama, what drama. On Friday evening at 9 p.m, there was all talk of a Sena NCP and a Congress alliance, the Mahavikas Aghadi, as they wanted to call it, arriving at perhaps some conclusion where Uddhav Thackeray was all slated to be the next chief minister of Maharashtra to lead this alliance upon the insistence of the Congress and the NCP and, of course, cadre of the Shiv Sena. But Saturday morning, India and the world woke up to a bizarre twist. 8 a.m., Devendra Fadnavis sworn in as chief minister of Maharashtra with the support of Ajit Pawar as deputy chief minister. Ajit Pawar is the nephew of Sharad Pawar. Everybody thought that overnight Mr. Pawar had had a rethink given the way the negotiations were going, and he had decided to endorse and take the support of the BJP and support the BJP. Then as the details unfolded, Mr. Sharad Pawar around 9:30, more than an hour and a half after the oath had been taken, revealing that around 6:30 in the morning is when he first got wind of the fact that his nephew was actually at Raj Bhavan with the governor and Devendra Fadnavis, staking claim to form the government, endorsing and saying that he has the support. What was submitted was a letter signed by 54 MLAs who endorsed him as the leader of the legislative party. The matter gets into the Supreme Court with an urgent hearing on Sunday with the NCP, Congress and the Shiv Sena taking the matter to the Supreme Court, saying that the governor has not been judicious in his decision and that he has disrespected the constitution and the discretionary powers vested by the constitution in his office. But the court, not just holding the order on Sunday, posting the matter to be heard today at 10:30 in the morning, thereafter also seeking the letter of support, the letter written by the governor and the letters written by both Ajit Pawar and Devendra Fadnavis to the governor. In court today, amidst arguments and counter-arguments, the court reserving the order and will pronounce it on Tuesday morning 10:30. So another 24-hour reprieve for the Fadnavis-Ajit Pawar government to perhaps salvage and see how the equations work. Ajit Pawar continues to remain confident, quietly confident, saying, yes, all the NCP MLAs are still with me. He still remains a part of the NCP, mind you. The NCP leaders are desperately trying to woo him back and try and make an arrangement. But despite the repeated engagements, they have not yet expelled him from the party. They hope he will come back. They want him to resign. Reason being, on the 22nd of November, he has legitimately got the signatures of 54 MLAs, including his. On what grounds, for what reason, that's a matter separately. But he has used it in front of the governor and also said in front of the court that I have the support of the MLAs, and because I am the leader of the legislative party, the powers are vested in me to decide who we support. Clearly, there is a Sharad Pawar versus Ajit Pawar faction and difference of opinion. The Pawar family has been shocked. Supriya Sule, Sharad Pawar's daughter, and of course, first cousin of Ajit Pawar, expressing the shock and disappointment and dismay. Rohit Pawar, the grandnephew of Sharad Pawar, coming out and expressing and hoping that Ajit Pawar does come around. Meanwhile, Ajit Pawar and his family, who were present there at the swearing-in, continuing to keep the distance, and Ajit Pawar spending time at his brother Srinivas Pawar's residence in Mumbai. All top leaders have met with each other. There are plenty of speculations doing the rounds, but everybody has only one question in mind. Does Devendra Fadnavis and do Ajit Pawar, do they have majority? When will the floor test be? The arguments was the Sena NCP combined along with the Congress coming out and saying we want the floor test at the earliest. There cannot be any more delay. The Solicitor General appearing on behalf of the Governor, Mukul Rohatgi appearing on behalf of Devendra Fadnavis, BJP MLAs and some independent MLAs, coming out and saying that the governor has done nothing wrong. He's gone by the book as far as the law book and the rule book. So if the governor has allowed 14 days, there should be 14 days. Now, we don't know what the court will decide tomorrow, but we know very soon the matter will be fought on the floor of the Vidhan Sabha or the Maharashtra's assembly. Because Devendra Fadnavis has been sworn in, he can't be dismissed by the court. The court can't dismiss his office. The court can't ask him to step down. The court has stopped short and said that we don't want to invoke or get into the ambit of whether or not the governor should have called for the dissolution of president's rule and then appoint a government in place. So it will be decided on the floor. Now, when does the floor test happen is the big question. Amidst all this, in the afternoon comes the twist in the story where suddenly there is a notice which has been issued by the Vidarbha division and where it says that about 9 projects in the part of the irrigation scam, the investigations or the inquiry has been closed. Immediately, the allegations made that this is quid pro quo by the BJP, it is trying to say that they will absolve Ajit Pawar, give him a clean chit. This is just to lure the NCP away from the Aghadi and to say, no, you will be given a clean chit, etc., etc. But it was a quick counter that came from the government office in Maharashtra and also the Anti-Corruption Bureau. We said that we are only following the Bombay High Court directive, which said that by the 28th or the 29th of November, some action had to be taken in a lot of the cases which were pending. Now, these irrigation scam and the entire cases were approvals given in the irrigation department for projects between 1999 and 2004. And the scam is touted to be more than 70,000 crore rupees, and where there are under scrutiny of about 3,000 cases. There are about 3,000 tenders and 3,000 cases which are pending. The Anti-Corruption Bureau and the government very clearly maintaining that these cases, these 9 instances, have got nothing to do with Mr. Ajit Pawar and the allegations around him. The allegation was that he was part of the irrigation department, he was minister at that time, and he gave away these contracts without any checks and balances, any scrutiny, and there was a quid pro quo money that was earned. But Ajit Pawar maintains that it was the secretaries who referred it and he just okayed it. It was not his mistake. There are a lot of allegations, counter-allegations, but this irrigation scam has hung like the sword of Damocles over Ajit Pawar and the NCP. The NCP demise in the 2014 Vidhan Sabha elections and even in the Lok Sabha elections was largely because of the corruption charges around them and, more importantly, the allegations surrounding Chhagan Bhujbal and Ajit Pawar. Now, for this to happen, they have said that this is to lure the NCP and just to say, tell Ajit Pawar, thank you for betraying your own uncle and your own party. This is the opposition's allegation. The government saying we are following a court directive, it's got nothing to do with Ajit Pawar, and we are not saying that anybody who merges with us becomes holier than thou. So this political face-off, this political fight continues, but the big question is, what will happen on the floor of the house? Ajit Pawar still calm, Devendra Fadnavis taking charge of his office, Ajit Pawar changing his status on Twitter as Deputy Chief Minister of Maharashtra and maintaining that maybe the NCP claims all 53 MLAs are back in Sharad Pawar's camp, on the floor they will support me. There is this quiet confidence around Ajit Pawar, and one wonders why and how. And why is it that he has not yet been expelled from the party? Why is it that the top leadership of the NCP still wants to engage? And all of this is making the Shiv Sena very, very nervous, because they are now realizing what they have given up and what they have gotten into. Somewhere, there seems to be a sentiment among the Shiv Sena ranks which says that just because of somebody's swarth or selfishness, somebody's braggadocio or what they say in Hindi, barbolapan, talking too much, the Sena has run itself aground. It's run itself into a problem, in a tight corner. Because the engagement that the BJP is making with the NCP, the number of calls that Uddhav Thackeray and the number of meetings Uddhav Thackeray has had with Sharad Pawar and even with the top Congress leadership, had that engagement or even half of it or even one phone call had gone from Uddhav Thackeray to Amit Shah or to the Prime Minister or to JP Nadda, these issues could have been resolved. But it was the BJP that gave Sena the higher pedestal, gave them the respect that Matoshri commanded under Balasaheb Thackeray. And today, those inhabitants of Matoshri who claim to be the remote control or the centers of power are actually on the streets of Mumbai, up and about, from one resort to the other, trying to convince and keep the MLA's morale high. What's going to happen on the floor of the house? Who enjoys to be the whip? The government's argument, and on Mukul Rohatki arguing on behalf of Devendra Fadnavis, comes out and says, listen, we don't want a pro tem speaker to decide the floor test. Let there be a speaker. Now here is the idea. Jiska speaker, uski sarkar. Jiski sarkar, uska speaker. That's what the norm is. They are saying, if the speaker is the one that the BJP decides, you know where the numbers are. It's all going to play out on the floor of the house, ladies and gentlemen, but amidst all this politics, all this tutu meme, all these allegations and the drama that happened in the Lok Sabha, where the Congress were actually, some MPs, not just rushing into the well of the house in Lok Sabha with placards, they even assaulted some of the marshals, they got rough with them. These are the so-called conscience keepers of democracy questioning what's happening in Maharashtra, and look at their behavior in the Lok Sabha with marshals and inside the temple of democracy. So amidst all of this, what happens to the voter? Boss, you and me vote with a particular leadership in mind. the people of Maharashtra voted for the Mahayuti, that is the alliance of the BJP and the Shiv Sena along with some of the smaller parties. They didn't vote for NCP and Congress. So how is a BJP-NCP forming government fair to the voter of Maharashtra? How is a Sena-NCP-Congress forming a government fair to the voter of Maharashtra? And what is the recourse that I or you as a voter of Maharashtra or any voter have when the mandate that we voted for is mocked? Ungli hum karte hain, ye thenga humko dikhate hain. How is that fair? Think about this. It's time the courts, the constitution, the lawmakers of our country take the right stand in favor of the voter. We need to have the right to reject and the right to recall. But that is a larger debate. The politics and the dynamics of what's going to happen in Maharashtra in the run-up to the court hearing tomorrow morning at 10:30. We'll discuss all of that tonight on The Right Stand. I'll see you there.
The Right Stand with Anand Narasimhan.